Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio show designed specifically for Army Wives, our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network, interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army family. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio. Tonight we have with us Jason Alba from Jibber Jobber, a website to help promote and to help people organize and manage their job search. This is show number 566, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Amber. Today is Monday, May 23rd, 2016, and we're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
If you're listening to our show live right now, join our show discussion that's taking place over on Twitter. The Core Team's over there hanging out. You can ask questions of our guests and comment on the show. Just have fun. That's over at twitter.com/Army Wife Network. And be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today, and you can learn more at www.metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-MET-TDP1.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Jason Alba from Jibber Jobber. You can find him on Twitter at Jason Alba, that's J-A-S-O-N-A-L-B-A, or go to his website at http://jibberjobber.com. That's jibberjobber, J-I-B-B-E-R-J-O-B-B-E-R. Also coming up a bit later in our show is our Relationship Minute with Kevin Decker. But before we get to all that, I have a new co-host tonight, Amber. This is your first time. Welcome. Tell us
a bit
about yourself and what's been going on in your Army wife life.
Well, I'm really co-hosting with you tonight, Crystal. So currently, I've just been busy with the kiddos. I'm a home mother of three. My husband is stationed here at Fort Myer. So I kind of have my hands full with my three little ones, but I'm keeping busy with volunteer and serving others in my community. And just like more recently, actually this week, past weekend, my church had this, what we call a free sale, and it was just a big gathering of all these things to give out to people that were in need, and they could just come and pick up whatever they needed. So that was really awesome to be a part of.
Oh, that's neat. Now, Fort Myer, is that Virginia?
Yes, Fort Myer, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. There's so many different bases and posts. So that's a beautiful area, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we love seeing all the, national-type things and historic landmarks. It's just so great. I'm originally from the West Coast, but I've been enjoying the East Coast, so. It's been fun. It's been nice. We've had a great time being here. That's pretty much what I've been up to. And then also, I don't know if you've seen, well, I'm sure you have, but I just recently competed for Mrs. Virginia with the Mrs. America pageant. So that was a whole other thing on its own.
Oh, how neat. Yeah, I was watching your Facebook updates about that. Tell us a little bit about that. You competed as Mrs. Montclair, is that correct?
Yes. So I got to represent my little community, and I've never done anything like this. Some of my friends have done pageants before in the past, and it's kind of been something where I was like, oh, you know, I want to do that, but, you know, needed that little extra push of confidence and boost to just step out of my comfort zone and do it. But, you know, I'm married now, obviously, I'm a missus, and, you know, I like to go for things you want to do in life. So I just kind of talked to them a little bit and told them, what do you think about me doing a pageant? And, of course, at first he was a little like, you want to do something like that? but, you know, he's so supportive, and he was just like, you know, if you want to do it, go for it. So I signed up, and I competed, and it was for the Mrs. Virginia State title, and, you know, it was an experience I will never forget, that's for sure.
Oh, how neat. Now, I don't know much about pageants, so I probably, this, forgive me if this is an odd question, but do you compete, like, with a platform or with a message?
Yeah, so we all have a different platform. It wasn't something that you had to have, but, of course, it's something that, you know, if you're passionate about, which a lot of women are, they all have their different platforms. You want to just bring more awareness to it. So mine was for my church, their program that they just launched called Hope for NOVA, which NOVA is short for Northern Virginia. So that's just, I mean, they have a great thing going. They just started it, and this has been in the works. Like, for example, with the free sale, you know, just giving back to the community, everyone around just coming to get what they need. And they have some great, like, great plans and their vision for Northern Virginia and just blessing others, you know, helping others in need, having a, they want to have a pantry, a trailer just in a local trailer park community where people in that area can just come and get food if they need it. They want to have a big facility as well with counselors and tutors and, you know, groups for abused women or recovering drug addicts. And they just have such a great goals, all these goals they want to achieve. And that was my platform. I just wanted to bring more awareness for them so that people can know, hey, they're starting something awesome for Northern Virginia. And, you know, how can I become a part of that? So that was my platform. And I just, it was such an honor to be able to talk to people about that. That was my main thing, like the best part of the Mrs. Virginia pageant was being able to talk about that.
Oh, how exciting. That's awesome. So one thing I like to ask people when I first meet them, that other mill spouses, is kind of how they met their husbands or wives or service members, and kind of how long you have been in the military life.
Well, my husband, he went to college first, and then he decided he wanted to join the military because his father. So he's been in for almost 4 years. So this is actually our first duty station, or assignment, I believe. I'm so bad with the lingo.
Cool.
You know, even like acronyms, I just, you know, when he talks to me about things, like, what are you talking about? so, yeah, so it's our first duty station. And so, yeah, and right now he's getting ready to go to OCS and officer school, and we'll see what we'll be going to next.
Oh, how fun. So do you like military life?
Definitely. I mean, I support my husband, so it's, you know, whatever he's doing, it's able to be there for him. And I know your other question, I'm sorry, I kind of steered away from that, was how did we meet? We actually met in high school. So I've known him since high school. And, you know, this was something he kind of talked about, but he never really, you know, for sure said, I'm joining the military. And it was until after he graduated college, he's like, well, I'm joining the military. So, you know, and I'm like, all right, well, I support it. You know, at first he wanted to do something like special forces, but I was like, if you want to have a family with me, you might not want to do that. But I don't know if I could handle all that. You know, props to those women that can handle all that, but I'm just, wow. That for me was like, okay, I don't know about the special forces part.
Yeah, this life, it can, without the special forces part of it, can be overwhelming. And it's kind of like you were talking about acronyms and such. They have their own language. You know, it's like, do you speak on the acronym? And the whole way of life is so much different. Like, my husband literally, I mean, it is a lifestyle, you know, and that wasn't something that I quite understood when I first married my husband. And, you know, PT is part of it, you know, and you may have to, or you might have to work late, and it's just all part, and might have to work all night.
So it's really
interesting, and that's if you're home, you know, then not to mention all the trainings and the TDYs and all that. So, but it's fun. There is just something about being part of something that's bigger than yourself, you know, to feel like you're part
Definitely.
Of history in the making. And so, and it's an honor to support our service members. And that's something I really enjoy, is volunteering and, like you said, giving back to the community and just supporting our military. So it's really neat. And I love all the pomp and circumstance, you know, the military balls and hails and farewells. It's so fun, I think.
Yeah.
That's kind
of my... I mean, I love all that. It's recently, actually, we went to a retirement ceremony, and we got to see the old guard, because that's what he's part of. And they, you know, they had the fife and drum group there, and they were just, it was so cool to see, because they're so patriotic, and it just, it almost reminded me of the movie Patriot. I don't know if you've seen that with Mel Gibson.
So they
had, like, the old school, you know, uniform. It was just, it was so cool to see.
Oh,
but it makes
neat.
You feel, like, a lot more patriotic and just, like, you know, just get into it. And I love those types of functions that he gets to be a part of and see, and I get to join along every so often. But I definitely hear what you're saying, Crystal. I love all that. I just, I'm so happy to be a part of it and supporting my husband as he's doing all this.
Yeah, it really is an honor, and it's, and it has been so neat to be raising my children among the military, because they get to live among heroes, and that's the really cool thing. And I remember some of my first memories of, and I haven't been in very long either, but some of my first memories were, you know, soldiers opening the door for myself or my kids, you know, and they're in uniform. My kids would look up at them in such awe, you know, and they
realize,
I don't think, especially the younger ones, how much these kids are just in awe of them. And they really are heroes. And so, and I want to say thank you to our military service members. You really are heroes. And thank you to the military families, because we recognize that you serve too, right? You sacrifice right along with your spouses. So I just want to give a quick plug for, speaking of mil spouses, Sherita and Lisa and I will be at Joint Base Lewis-McChord on June 9th for Mil Spouse Fest 2016. And that'll be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so if you want to register for that event, it's free. And on a limited basis, there's free child care for children ages 3 months to 6 years, but you have to register for them as well. So if you want to register, come out and join us and meet us. Sherita, Lisa, and I will be there. We would love to meet you. To register, go to our AWN Facebook page and click on the link. I have pinned it to the top of our page, the link to the Mil Spouse Fest 2016, and be sure to register. It is time for us to take a quick break, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
If you're stationed away from home, how can your voice be heard? Get your absentee ballots on time, wherever you are. Here's how. Go to fvap.gov and fill out your federal postcard application, or FPCA. Go to fvap.gov to get started.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
That is, and check it out.
Well, hot in military family news this evening, Sesame Street USO Experience for Military Families to debut a brand new show about military to civilian transition during statewide run from May 18th through late October. Sesame Street is thrilled to once again partner with our friends at the USO during their momentous 75th anniversary, said Dr. Jeanette Benton-Court, SVP of U.S. Social Impact at Sesame Workshop. We are honored to continue supporting our nation's military families and celebrate nearly 10 years of bringing our resources and the Sesame Street USO experience for military families to installations around the world. According to a recent survey, approximately one-third of those transitioning out of the military had a difficult time. And for those who remain in the service, military kids move upwards to 6 to 9 times between preschool and high school education. Sesame Workshop and the USO address these realities head-on with their new 30-minute performance about military to civilian transition entitled Katie's Family Transitions to Civilian Life, while simultaneously running their popular hit, Katie is Moving to a New Base. Their latest installment, which premiered overseas in 2015 and debuts stateside this year, features new songs, choreography, and messages of support. Both shows will run as part of the 2016 Sesame Street USO Experience for Military Families, which is scheduled to perform more than 160 shows at more than 50 military bases throughout the United States. To read more, to find out the tour schedule for 2016, go to uso.org/programs/ the Sesame Street USO Experience for Military Families. Rachel Tischler, VP of Entertainment Operations, will be a guest on our show June 27th, and will tell us more about this. It will be a great show, so be sure to tune in.
Now let's check out what's hot on AWM this week. AWN experienced blogger Sarah shares with our AWN readers how my mom taught me to be an Army wife. In this thoughtful and loving blog post written in honor of her mother, Sarah, I'm so lucky to have a mom that is, as the kids say, a maid bald. When I was growing up, I always thought I would be just like my mom. I even look like her. From the time I was a little girl, mom has been teaching me useful life skills, and I'd like to share with you. Read more at www.armywifenetwork.com/ how my mom taught me to be an Army wife.
That's a great article. I'm so honoring to her mom. It's so sweet. Well, it's social media roundup time. This week we asked our Facebook and Twitter followers, what personal project or projects are you working on right now? Boy, do we have a busy bunch. Several of our readers are training for marathons, working on preparing for TCS or garage sales, and even working towards college degrees, along with other projects such as knitting and reading. So what personal projects are you working on? Share with us. We'd love to hear. We'll be posting a link to that fun conversation in our Twitter feed for you shortly. So, Amber, I got to ask, do you have any personal projects you're currently working on?
Well, since I've been back from the pageant, which was actually a few weeks ago, so, I mean, it was kind of a while ago, really. I just kind of been slowing things down a little bit, so not too much on my plate, but I am really obsessed with my daily or weekly planner. That's so nerdy, but it's kind of like my scrapbook. So I love to just take the time to plan out what's going to be happening my week coming up and putting stickers all over it and washi tape, and I'm so into that.
And it is so cute. I have, I'm not that creative, but I've seen pictures that you've posted on Facebook, and that is just really neat. It's creative. It's pretty. It looks like it'd be something you'd want to look or to open and look at.
Yes, it's, my husband thinks it's really nerdy, but, you know, because I even put on my planner, I need to take a night or evening to plan out my planner. So he's just like, you are just too weird. But I have fun with it. I love the creativity aspect of it. And it's just a little bit of my me time. So that's what I've been working on lately.
Oh, that's neat. We all need something like that. Really, for me right now, I'm just working on writing a couple of writing projects, and I'm always reading, like 2, 3, 4 books. I have books on my Kindle, and then I have hard copy books that I'm reading. I'm terrible. I'm so ADHD. Well, no H, because I'm not all that hyper, but I'm so scattered, you know. I love to read everything. Everything interests me. So, well, Amber, tell us a bit about our PSA tonight.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Do you or your business have a military PSA? We limit one per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance, armywifenetwork.com. Our PSA tonight is about mental health awareness. You just can't turn on the television or open up a magazine without being reminded of your physical health and fitness, and that is so true. But mental health is just as important. An estimated 1 in 5 American adults and 13% to 20% of children experience a diagnosable mental health disorder each year. Learn more and spread the word and stamp out stigma. Start by learning to recognize signs that you or someone else may need help. What to look for in adults? Adults who are dealing with mental health disorders may display any number of the following signs: confusion, prolonged sadness or irritability, feelings of extreme highs and lows, excessive worries and anxieties, social withdrawal, dramatic changes in eating or sleeping habits, strong feelings of anger, delusions or hallucinations, growing inability to cope with daily problems and activities, suicidal thoughts, denial of obvious problems, numerous unexplained physical ailments, and substance abuse. Now, this is what you can look for in adolescents and young adults. Many symptoms in adolescents may be similar to those in adults, but you may notice other characteristics including defiance of authority, truancy, theft or vandalism, intense fear of weight gain, prolonged negative mood, often accompanied by poor appetite or thoughts of death. And what to look for in younger children and pre-adolescents. Young children and pre-adolescents may display some of the following: changes in school performance, poor grades despite strong efforts of worry or anxiety, such as refusing to go to bed or school, hyperactivity, persistent nightmares, persistent disobedience or aggression, and frequent temper tantrums. How to get help. Confidential help is available through Military OneSource, which can provide further resources and connect you with a non-medical counselor. Reach a counselor by phone at 1-800-342-9647. If you or someone you know is suicidal or in a state of crisis, please visit the Military Crisis Line hotline or online at www.veteranscrisisline.net/activeduty.aspx or call 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. You wouldn't hesitate to seek help for a physical ailment, but reach out for assistance with depression, anxiety, and other mental health issues, and encourage others to do the same. You can read more at www.militaryonesource.mil/health-and-wellness/prevention-care. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN's New 610, bringing you the need-to-know stories. So we'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental Coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Jen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. The Senate has approved Eric Fanning as the new Army Secretary. On Tuesday, the Senate confirmed the long-stalled nomination of Eric Fanning to be Army Secretary. Defense Secretary Ash Carter issued a statement congratulating Fanning. Carter said he is confident Fanning will make an exceptional Army Secretary. Prior to his Senate confirmation, Fanning served as the Army Secretary's principal advisor on management and operation of the service, with a focus on the budget. He was Under Secretary of the Air Force from April 2013 to February 2015, and for half a year was the Acting Secretary of the Air Force. He also worked on Defense Secretary Ash Carter's transition. The Army has recognized Fort A.P. Hill as one of its top installations. For the eighth time since 2003, Fort A.P. Hill has been recognized by the Army as one of its top installations. A.P. Hill has been awarded a bronze medal behind Fort Campbell in Tennessee and Fort Rucker in Alabama. The award recognizes posts for how well they carry out their missions. The awards program, according to an Army news release, is based on the principle that communities support people best by combining excellent services with excellent facilities and a quality environment. A team of five evaluators spent a week at A.P. Hill in September, said Diane Smith, acting chief of plans, analysis, and integration at the installation. That was after the post submitted a packet of information answering a series of complex questions about everything from leadership, strategy, workforce, and operation. In addition to the bronze award and recognition, A.P. Hill will receive a cash prize of $30,000. President Obama has signed a bill that will allow the ashes of female World War II pilots to be interred at Arlington National Cemetery. On Friday, President Obama signed a law reinstating the right of the Women's Air Force Service Pilots, or WASPs, a group of pioneering female flyers, to be laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery. They are again eligible for above-ground interment and full burial honors. The WASPs lost their right last year when the Army interpreted existing law to exclude them. About 1,000 women were trained as pilots and ferried combat aircraft throughout the United States from 1942 to 1944 as part of the wartime program. Today is a victorious occasion for a revolutionary group of women who deserve to be celebrated and remembered by all, Senator Joni Ernst, sponsor of the legislation, said in a release statement. In March, the House voted 385-0 in favor of the bill sponsored by Representative Martha McSally, a former A-10 Thunderbolt II pilot who cited the earlier female flyers as inspiration. The Senate unanimously passed the bill earlier this month with support from Ernst and Barbara Mikulski. The WASPs were not considered active duty military at the time of their service, but have received the Congressional Gold Medal and veteran benefits since their story came to light in the 1970s. The women learned to fly nearly every type of aircraft in the U.S. fleet and went on to ferry more than half of combat aircraft to bases across the country. The WASPs suffered 38 deaths during missions and training. The Army began allowing their internment at Arlington in 2002, but former Army Secretary John McHugh overruled the policy, saying the law does not allow it. Acting Army Secretary Patrick Murphy, who served after McHugh, had said he favored restoring the WASPs' cemetery rights, but that the change could only be made by passing a new law. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your new 6th Gen, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your host, Amber Bozinski. Tonight, we have with us Jason Alba from Jibber Jobber. Jason was laid off in January 2006 and a few months later launched JibberJobber.com, which is a website to help people organize and manage their job search.
Jason has given 1 year of the premium level to active duty and military since he launched and has recently announced he is giving 1 year of premium to military spouses. He's the author of 3 books, including I'm on LinkedIn, Now What?, and 51 Alternatives to a Real Job. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
So Jason, tell us a bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, I'm just a normal guy. I had a career that I thought was headed in a certain direction, and about 10 years ago I got laid off, and I became the worst job seeker in the history of bad job seekers, and found out that I would probably be better being an entrepreneur, and figured out that there's a problem for job seekers, which is how do I organize and manage and track my job search? And I wanted to put all my skills to use. And so I developed a website, now also a mobile app called Jibber Jobber. And that's what we're talking about tonight.
And I love your titles for your books and your website, you know, Jibber Jobber and I'm on LinkedIn, Now What? And Real Alternatives to, or Alternatives to a Real Job. I love that. You come up with great, catchy titles. So,
yeah, thank you. So specifically regarding the book title, I'm on LinkedIn Now What?, it's with a publisher who had all of his books Be Happy About. And when I went to him, I said, well, I'm honestly not happy about LinkedIn. So, I mean, really what I'm hearing from people, the Jibber Jobber users and job seekers or LinkedIn users, they're saying, well, what the heck do I do? I'm on the site, but now what do I do? And I think that became a great title.
Yes, it did. It's great.
So what is Jibber Jobber, Jason?
So when I started my job search, like every other job seeker, I had two options to organize what I was doing. One was an Excel spreadsheet, which you basically make from scratch and you kind of engineer and figure out what columns and rows you want. And the other is a spiral notebook or a yellow pad or something like that. And as I travel the country, this is what I see people using to organize and manage their job search. And I thought, man, there's got to be a way to use technology. And what I figured out was that the technology that salespeople use to keep track of their prospects and their customers and and who they have conversations with, that's a great model for job seekers, because job seekers are doing pretty much the same things that a salesperson does. And so Jibberjobber is, like I said earlier, a web app and a mobile app that helps you organize, manage, and track a job search just the same way that a salesperson would organize, manage, and track the sales prospects.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, how you kind of explained it, but a little bit. But how or why did you come up with the idea of Jibberjobber?
Well, I was really frustrated with the job search that I was doing. So I heard this idea that the job search is a numbers game, which I don't know. So it kind of makes sense and it kind of doesn't make sense. But I thought, okay, well, let's say I send out 100 resumes or apply to 100 places online. And a percentage of those should come back with a, yeah, come on in an interview. I went to a job club one day and talked to this person who said that she had applied to like 2,000 places online and hadn't heard back from anyone. And I thought, oh, man, this is not the right system. This is not what we should be doing. And so I stepped back and analyzed what a real successful job search looks like, which, by the way, I wasn't doing much of any of the right stuff. But one of the things that kept coming up from career coaches and career experts was you need to organize, you know, manage and track what you're doing and know when you need to follow up. Follow up is such a big part of networking and relationships and the job search. And I thought, you know what, I need something that I can search for, you know, a web tool that I can search for names and have things come up and prompt me and say, don't forget to call this person today. And so that's where it really began. And from there, this was 10 years ago, it's really blossomed into what I think is a pretty cool tool, almost a one-stop tool for job seekers.
So I know you said a little bit, well, obviously it's for people that are seeking, you know, job searches, but who uses Jibberjobber? Who's your audience?
So in the early days, and anybody who's ever been an entrepreneur thinks, well, everybody should use my product, and I still think a lot of people should use Jibberjobber. So what I found out was that I had solopreneurs, people who own their own business, for example, professional speakers who are always out trying to pitch their presentations and to meeting planners and stuff like that. I recently talked to somebody who is an author who has multiple manuscripts that she's pitching to publishers, and she needs to keep track of which manuscript she sent to which publisher and when she would follow up. Like I said, the salesperson and the job seeker are doing very similar tasks. Well, the way I look at it is an entrepreneur, especially a solopreneur, is pretty much someone who's unemployed every morning, right? So they every day they have to do the same thing that we as job seekers have to do. What I found is that if you're interested in relationships and you need to follow up on things, whether it's a phone call or any follow-up opportunity, then you need a system to help you remember to follow up. If you have that need, then Jibberjobber is a great tool for you, even if you're not in a job search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what a great, right. What a great system. And there are so many ways to use Jibberjobber. So, well, why would a veteran want to use Jibberjobber?
So what I've found is that veterans have interesting challenges when they transition out of the military and look for that next job, whether it's like the end job and then they're going to retire again, or if you're a younger veteran, then you're really beginning a career outside of the military. Here's what I've learned. I have pretty decent education and I have a decent resume. I've done some pretty cool things and had some cool job titles. But what I found is I have no job security in any of those things. My MBA does not give me job security. And I proved that by getting laid off after I got my MBA. The job titles that I have had haven't given me job security. And so in my mind, a veteran would use Jibber-Jobber to do the things to increase what they can control with what I call income security, or the old way of saying it is job security. The whole idea is, if we nurture our network and our relationships, then we increase our chances to find a job when we want to find a job. We don't know if that's going to be in 2 months from now, or 2 years from now, or 10 years from now, but I'm convinced that we need to make sure that we're nurturing our relationships, because when I got laid off, I hadn't been nurturing relationships, and I learned the hard way what it meant to have no brand and no relationship. That's why I'm an advocate of anyone using Jibber-Jobber, whether you're in a job search or not. And I think it's a great tool, especially for veterans, as they navigate this weird job search.
Now, what about a military spouse? Why would we want to use Jibber-Jobber?
So what I found, so I'm not a military brat, but my dad was in the FBI. And so I moved around every 3 to 4 years, and my mom had a business that was actually a local business. So when we moved, she would basically shut down her business, and then in the next town, where we didn't know anybody, right, because that's how it works, in the next town, she had to start over from the beginning. And so there's one issue with military spouses who are, you know, having their own business or supplementing the income or whatever. The other thing is, if you have to change jobs every 3 or 4 years, that's stressful. It's hard. It's not necessarily fun. The job search isn't fun for anybody. And so one of the things that I want to do is help not just the veterans in active duty, but also military spouses, because I know there's what I would consider a pretty big hardship on a military family. And is unless things have changed since I hung out with a bunch of military people when I was in Puerto Rico, it's not like you're making tons of money, right? So I wanted to do what I could as a small business owner to help military families out. And I'm hopeful that extending Jibber-Jobber to military spouses could really help them as they pursue their own business or job search or whatever.
Well, this is great, because this is something that with military spouses, we are constantly being uprooted and having to start over again. And I had a quick question about that. Is this something where, as a military spouse, if I open up an account with Jibber-Jobber, is this something that I can keep, you know, I find a job and I'm employed, but then I move again? Is this something that I can come back to? Does it save my contacts, or can I, in what I had organized?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the beauty of Jibber-Jobber. And let me actually contrast that with the alternatives. My spreadsheets, they got lost when my computer crashed, right? My spiral notebooks, they would get lost, or I wouldn't be able to make sense of what I was chicken scratching in the notebooks. Jibber-Jobber is a pretty clean system. What you put into your account, you get forever. We never delete your data. We're not going to change it. We're not going to alter your access so that you can only see the last, you know, 50 records. If you put something in Jibber-Jobber, you always get access to it.
Great.
So how can I get a free year upgrade?
So it's actually really easy. You just go to jibberjobber.com and you sign up on the front page, and then you use the contact us form and you say, I am military, or I'm a veteran, or I'm a military spouse. Will you please give me a 1 year upgrade? And right now we just take it at your word. We believe you, and we give you a free year. It's as simple as that.
Wow.
Well, Jason, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk more about the kinds of job opportunities that are available and touch more on the subject of entrepreneurship.
Great.
Hey, Army family, don't forget the AWN Core Team is hanging out in Twitter chat tonight at Army Wife Network. Be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate, and you can ask questions of our guests, comments on the show, and just have fun. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
You're hired. Those words are music to any recent graduate's ears, and they're familiar words for CareerStep alumni. 84% of CareerStep graduates land jobs right out of school. Start working in an in-demand field like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing in as little as 3 months, taking online classes whenever and wherever is best for you. CareerStep nurtures relationships with its network of more than 900 employers, and many of them prefer CareerStep alumni. Let CareerStep help you take the next step toward a rewarding new career. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Recently, my wife and I got a message from another parent in my son's class. The boys had gotten into a tiff, and my son had taken the other boy's phone and tossed it against the wall. He had been upset, and they were upset, and now I was upset. And how I typically would react to that is to yell and lower the boom. But early in my marriage, a friend had given us really good advice. When your kids do stuff, ask yourselves, is it age-appropriate behavior? And this time, it was age-appropriate behavior. Teen boys getting into a tiff, I'm not surprised he threw the phone against the wall. But we taught the kids really early that actions result in consequences. And the consequences for my son was that he had to pay for the repairs to the phone out of his own money. He wasn't happy, but he understood. When the kids were really young, we had them decide the consequences themselves. And they were hard on themselves. Sometimes I had to reduce the consequences. But now that they're teenagers, they sometimes take advantage of that. My wife and I have a strategy for how we're going to work together to deal with this. We pause, we assess the situation, we discuss the situation, and then we decide what's going to happen. Using this strategy has given us happier kids, a happier family, and a happier marriage. We hope you use these strategies in your marriage too. This is Kevin Decker, Certified Relationship Coach, and you've been listening to the Relationship Minute on the Army Wife Network.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com, interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Jason Alba from JibberJobber.com. Before we went to break, we were discussing the benefits of using JibberJobber for both veterans and military spouses. Jason, what kind of opportunities are available for veterans?
So, like I said earlier, I'm not a veteran, and I have assumptions about what veterans can do and what they can't do. As I've been talking with and interfacing with people coming out of the military, the transition, and even years afterwards, I've been really impressed with the range of opportunities. So, for example, I knew that if you had certain roles in the military, then you could go work as a contractor for Booz Allen or something like that. I know that there are a fair amount of younger veterans, perhaps without an education, but they're great workers who will work in a warehouse. I worked in a janitorial company, and one of our partners loved hiring veterans because they're just so dependent, right? I mean, the discipline and all that great stuff. So those are kind of the stereotypical things that I understood that veterans can do. Let me share a couple of things that I've learned since then. I was talking with an Army veteran my question was, could a military veteran be a good salesperson? Because I'm opening up a system where I'm going to sell job postings, and I want people to sell job postings for me, whether it's a military spouse or a veteran or whatever. But I had this idea that a veteran wouldn't be a good people person. And he said, well, Jason, if you think about it, he said, I don't know about the other branches, but if you've been in the Army for at least 5 years, you have had a ton of soft skills and people skills training. So you marry that with the discipline that we have, and you have a great salesperson on your hands. And I thought that was very interesting because it fell out of the stereotype that I had always thought about. Now, the interesting thing is that this guy actually sells solar panels for a living, and he does very well. So he knows what he's talking about. There was another experience that I had where I was talking to a recruiter at a subsidiary of Halliburton, and she was telling me that at career fairs, when veterans walk by her booth, they would say, "Oh, well, I don't want to do what you guys do," because they had misbranded their company. She said, "Jason, these guys don't understand that we have pretty much any job you want, anywhere you want. It's a huge organization. If you want to live in South Dakota or Orlando, Florida or Boston, if you want to work in an IT shop, or if you want to work with customers or doing analysis or whatever, we have all kinds of opportunities." So my mind was really opened, or my eyes were really open to the idea that veterans don't have to come out and, you know, fit into maybe five stereotypical roles. There are really a lot of opportunities out there. And the fact that you have the training that you have and the discipline and all that other stuff makes you a great candidate.
Problems do veterans have in the job search?
Yeah, so that's the other side of the coin, right? So there's a lot of great opportunities, and why is the job search hard for veterans? I think that as I've thought about this, I've been doing this for 10 years, right, this job search stuff and career management and networking and stuff like that. I think there are two issues that are significant to veterans, and it really has to do with coming from a world where your communication and your training is very what I would consider localized or regional. It's very specific within your organization, but when you go outside of the Army or whatever branch you're in, the language is different. And so here are the two issues that I think that every veteran faces more than a non-veteran job seeker. One is your brand. You're automatically branded. Like I said, I have stereotyped veterans as being able to function well with about 5 to 10 specific roles, but I never thought that a veteran would be a good salesperson. And so I think there are a lot of non-military decision makers out there who look at veterans and they say, "Okay, well, I know you're going to show up on time, and I know you're going to, you know, deal well with leadership, whether it's reporting to a leader or being a leader, but I'm not really sure that you can, you know, I'm not sure if I want to put you in front of a customer because I don't know what your soft skills are like." And so the branding issue is something that I think that veterans have to focus on more than non-veterans. The second problem that I think that veterans have in the job search is communication. And of course, the communication is highly related to branding. So, I mean, we could say that there's how you communicate what your brand is and stuff like that. But let me flip over to a different kind of communication, and that is simply the language that you use. And really, there's about 4 gazillion articles written about how, you know, you did these very specific things in the military. If you put that on your resume, nobody knows what that means. We don't understand the scope of people involved, budget involved, impact, or anything like that. And so what we're told, or what veterans are told when they're transitioning out, is you have to figure out how to translate what your accomplishments and your skills are so that a non-military person can understand them. So those are two, I think, very specific problems for veterans: branding and communication. You put that on top of all the other problems that people encounter in a job search, and you have a real task on your hand to find your next role.
Right, right. Okay, so let's talk entrepreneurship for a minute. What if you want to own your own business?
You know, I am a big fan of owning your own business, and you know, I always wanted to, like, I wanted to have my own business, but I thought, honestly, that there was no more great mousetrap to be invented. like everything was already invented. Everything was already done. The super inspirational stories that are now multi-million or multi-billion dollar companies, you know, you had to get in on that stuff in 1910 if you really wanted a place. But the reality is there's a lot of opportunity for entrepreneurship. Here's why I'm such a fan of it. I had a decent job. I had a really good job, and I had a good trajectory, and my career looked like it was going exactly where I wanted it to go. But the bottom line was I wasn't in control of that. And the way that that hit home was when I got laid off. And when I started Jibberjobber as an entrepreneur, I realized one day, hey, you know what? This is at least as stressful as my job used to be. But I know that I am not going to get laid off ever. Like, I can fire myself, I guess, but really there's nobody above me that will take my income away. And that's why I talked about the idea of income security. Here's the whole secret behind income security as opposed to job security. Income security basically is creating multiple streams of income or multiple revenue streams. Companies do that. Mutual funds are all about decreasing risk because of multiple diversification. I think we need to do that with our own careers. If you have one income stream, if it's 100% of your income, then you are at risk of losing 100% of your income. And that's a dangerous situation. So you want to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't have to be your whole thing. Maybe you have a day job and then you do something entrepreneurial on the side. But here's the cool thing. Even if you're only making $100 a month on the side, if you get laid off from your day job, they took away everything except that $100. They cannot touch that other $100. And you could multiply that other $100. By the way, as I mentioned earlier, if you want to do that, Jibberjobber is a great tool because it helps you organize and track the relationships that you need to be successful as an entrepreneur.
Right. So what other resources would you recommend for job seekers, Jason?
You know, there's a lot of great resources, especially for veterans, and career coaches will give discounts to veterans. Let me give you a few resources. One is look for a local job club or job ministry. These are basically networking groups that usually meet once a week, and they're kind of easy to find on Google or ask other job seekers where they go. There's a Facebook group that I really like. It's called Every Veteran Hired. So just search Facebook and then Every Veteran Hired, and that's a terrific group for veterans where there's a lot of support. In Jibberjobber, we give you an access code for 30 days to a company called Pluralsight, where you can get online courses on how to do software development and a lot of IT stuff. But there are about 100 soft skill courses. I have almost 30 of those courses in the library. And so I can give you access to the Pluralsight courses, which normally would be about $30 a month, which is still a great deal. But if you come in through Jibberjobber, I can get you a 30-day pass, and then you can decide whether you want to continue it or not after that.
Great.
Wow, this is amazing. So where can our listeners go to find out more?
Well, obviously jibberjobber.com. And by the way, it's not jibberjabber, it's jibberjobber.com. I have been writing for 10 years almost every day on that blog. So jibberjobber.com/blog. And I love talking to people, so or communicating, if you will. So if you want to shoot me an email, I'm jason@jibberjobber.com.
Oh, this is great. Well, Jason, this is such great advice and tips for us. And thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight and tell us about jibberjobber.com. It's certainly one of those resources that I know I personally am going to bookmark and recommend. I can already think of a few people that this would be quite helpful for. So I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
And Army family, next week, May 30th, 2016, we'll be observing Memorial Day holiday. So be sure to just check out one of our archived podcasts and then join us when we come back on June 6th on the show. We're featuring Clinton Romesha, author of Red Platoon, A True Story of American Valor. It's a very inspiring story, so you won't want to miss this.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great evening.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.